Hey friends, welcome to the Brands for Businesses podcast. My name is Ben Bellamy and I'm an international website designer who builds websites that convert audiences into customers and in turn helps you raise your revenue. I am on a mission to help amazing business owners like you with your websites and your brands, and for that is the reason that this podcast exists. Today, you are listening to episode number 7. Hello friends, how are you doing? Hope you're having a great day. Thank you for clicking play and listening to this episode of the Brands for Businesses podcast. Today is an interview with one of my amazing friends. She's incredibly talented. Her name is Cheryl Laidlaw, aka London Web Girl. Cheryl has a big passion in making web design not only interesting, but accessible to all. She prides herself on the website in a day service that leaves her clients not only with a fantastic website, but having had a great day learning new skills and new earned confidence using their website to grow their business. I can't wait for you guys to listen to this episode. Cheryl is such a talented designer. She is very big on Instagram and she does lots of things on Instagram. And since she's been in business for over 10 years, she's made just a couple of brands. So let's get on with today's interview. So welcome to the podcast, Cheryl Laidlaw. Cheryl, how are you doing?
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm fabulous.
You are so welcome. I'm so pleased that you're here.
Lovely to be here.
So for anybody that doesn't know, please tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So I am Cheryl Laidlaw, also known as a London Web Girl, and I predominantly build websites for a living, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, that was so concise. I love that. So we're obviously good friends, and we have been good friends now probably, I don't know, how long has it been? It feels like a lifetime. It feels like soul sisters, you know, that have just
hunted Ben down on the internet.
So tell me a little bit about how you came to do what you do, because I know that you have been in business for, it's over 10 years, right?
It sure is.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about you and your journey.
Okay. So I went to university. I did a graphic design degree. And when I got out into the big wide world, I was looking for a graphic design job. And I was one of the lucky people that got a intern job within the first week, and I used a luminous green paper from Paper Chase with a matching envelope, and I sent it to every graphic design company in London.
Love that.
And one of them bit and got me in, and I worked for free for 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. I was told, I remember there was a lady that came into my university. She was obviously working in a agency. And she said some terrible, awful stat that stayed with me, that only 10% of you actually become graphic designers and actually get a job in the industry that you have studied for.
Right.
I was absolutely mortified at this. Imagine telling people that. So, I mean, it's true. Half of them aren't actually graphic designers.
Imagine it. It's true.
It's actually true. No, I don't know how true it is, but I was absolutely determined that I was going to be within the 10%. So I went to this agency, and about after a week, he was like, this is great. You know, you're doing some great work, or maybe about a month or two. He was like, but you really need to learn websites. Mm. And I was like, what? What do you mean? So I had to obviously I learned on the job of how to design and build websites. This is back in the day when we used all the coding, HTML and CSS. Yeah. And then from there, 3 years later, I started my own agency where I offered everything, as we all do. You know, I did social media management and social media training and web design and logo creation and graphic design, brochure design, you know, everything, you name it.
The whole shebang.
The whole shebang. And then I read, well, I didn't actually, I niched to web design back in 2015 and haven't looked back.
Love that.
That's me in a nutshell.
So you actually have two businesses or two brands.
I do.
So tell me a little bit about how that works, what happened there. I'm just curious to know, because I actually genuinely don't know how this came about. So I would actually love to know.
Okay, good shout. Okay, so I started my business as a agency. So yeah. I was originally called Real Design Group because back then, 10 years ago, you had to be perceived as a bigger company in order to get business, which is what we thought we would do. So I was the Real Design Group, you know, I can handle everything, I can do everything. And in 2015, that was when I niched and I actually established Website in a Day.
Right.
And that is the name of my business, Website in a Day. And that's exactly where I, you know, I build websites in a day, which is fabulous. And the concept is popular and, you know, I can't do websites any other way now. It's just how I'm programmed. But that was amazing. And then Instagram came around again. I don't know what year it came around in, probably around the same time. And at the time, I was just taking snaps of my daily activities, not really using it for business, when I realized that actually this could be a very good business tool.
It's funny, actually, because last night I actually scrolled back through your Instagram, which is always a great experience for anybody, because like anyone that has kept their original Instagram posts, it's just like a whole other world.
Yes.
And it's
what
just...
What did you see?
Oh, I saw so many things. See, I actually archived all of my posts. I kind of wish I hadn't done it. I don't know if I can get mine back, but I did archive all of mine. But I will say I haven't actually done Instagram as long as you have done. But yeah, you have...
I've tried to keep as much on there as possible. Yeah. So that people can follow the journey.
Yeah.
I think it's important to see how I've grown. Like my growth is important for the people that look me up and think, all right, how does she do this?
I find it so interesting, especially when I look at other people as well, to see the difference in their, like, and how they've grown. I just love that.
Yeah. I purposely see, like, when did the lights go up? Or what does she do differently?
Mm.
You know? So it's interesting. So 2017, I was like, right, I need to be a little bit more of an authority and have a name that's going to stand out in my business. And I could have just changed it to a Website in a Day, but again, it's standing behind a brand again. Mm. So I changed it to London Web Girl.
Yes.
And that's really when my Instagram grew, because I was somebody. My Instagram name was Shezza.
Was it really?
C-H-E-3-3-A.
Oh yes, wow.
Oh yes.
So how, like, if you ever met somebody like at a networking thing, how did you say to them to find me on Instagram? I'm at Shezza but with threes.
Yeah, but at the time we never used Instagram. It was not a business.
It's not like that.
So if I'd have said, oh, find me on Instagram, they would have been like,
what?
Oh, what are you talking about? So it was really, I mean, I didn't get in there really quick, but I was in there quite quickly and I changed my name. And there's even some old articles I think I was named like someone to watch back in like 2016 or 2015. And I've still got the link and it says Shezza.
Excellent.
So that's embarrassing, but you know, hey ho. Someone's taken that name now. Someone in the States in my town. No,
they're going back.
Mind me. So I really built my Instagram followers, and I do believe that it was the name change, that actually gave me the confidence, and then I was perceived, because perception is everything, as we know. Ben,
we do.
I was perceived as being the go-to person, and then of course you put the right content out, you are the go, you actually become the go-to person. So for me, Instagram was a massive part of my growth back in 2017. But, and then as a result, London Web Girl was born, and it became a brand within itself. It was never really my intention. It was just only meant to be a handle.
Right. And it just grew.
So, and it was great PR. You know, it's a little bit more interesting than, you know, than having some company name. So I was asked to speak at events and have my opinions in small articles, you know, not nothing massive, but it just made all the difference.
Yes. So one of your brands then, so obviously website in a day, like you say, you actually build websites in a day.
I do.
What fueled that decision to start doing that? Because I think there's maybe not a perception, but a lot of people think that websites can take months to build. And I know that I've been involved in some projects in the past, and other people out there, I think I see a lot where people say, well, my website took months to produce. So the fact that you produced that in a day, like, how do you do that? What inspired that decision to start doing it that way?
Let's take a pause for a minute so I can tell you about the best website builder for WordPress on the market. If you've created or you manage your own WordPress website, or maybe you are a fellow designer, then Elementor Pro is the website builder for you. As the world's leading WordPress website builder with over 5 million users, Elementor Pro is the only complete design platform to offer pixel-perfect design, yet produces 100% clean code. Take your design vision and turn it into a stunning custom-made website. Elementor Pro is the most important tool in my design kit, and I use it to build all of my websites. So I can tell you firsthand, this platform is excellent and so much better than the other WordPress builders that are out there. Check out the link in the show notes to get started with Elementor today.
I actually sat down with a client and she actually said to me, oh, can we just sit down together and do it? And I was like, well, that's not really how we do it, but let's give it a bash. And she was really organized. She had all her content, she had all her images, and I thought, well, okay, we can see how far we get. And we finished it in a day, and I just thought, right, there's something in that.
Yeah,
there is something in that. That was it. The rest was history.
So how do you build a whole website in a day? Because is it purely just down to the planning then?
Yeah, I hold my clients accountable for timeframes, and they have to get their exactly the same as the original client was. They have to be organized. I even say on my website, you cannot work with me if you're not organized. Don't even try picking up the telephone because we're not going to get on. I'm not for you. So they need to be go-getters. They need to be organized. They need to know exactly what they want. And I can help them find exactly what they want, but they need to be at least be open to the fact that, you know, we're going to get through this together. And it is very much a hand-holding experience. And the client gets full control over the project. So it's a no-brainer.
I mean, it's interesting because obviously as a web designer myself, I obviously don't do it. I don't do it this way. And I don't build a website in a day. But I do find it fascinating how your level of organization is so good that you are able to do that. And it does make me think about myself and my own way that I work, and how that it must be very productive, because I'm a type of person that I like to almost do one project, check it off, start another. I don't like to kind of like stop and start and get involved in different things. So it must be a real sense of like great productivity for you that you're able to just do one website in a day and it's done and it's great.
Yeah. I mean, if you read any books on productivity, they will always tell you to do one thing.
Multitasking is not the way.
Absolutely. No. So even when I'm doing websites that are 20 pages, 25 pages, I will do it consecutively over a few days. And my whole brain would be consumed by their brand and their vision. And then the next person that's booked in will get the next slot, and they know they're getting it at that particular date.
That's it in time.
Yeah.
Love that. So you've been in business for 10 years. You've obviously amassed a wealth of knowledge and experience in that time. So what are some of the things, or what's the best advice you could give to people about their websites and their brands?
Okay, so how long is this podcast for?
As long as you want.
Oh, I need to do a whole Instagram live on this subject alone, because over the last few months, I've had new business coaches and I'm looking at myself, and, you know, we always want to learn. We always want to improve ourselves in order to give our clients more. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're always taught in business that we must know our accounts. We must get to grips on our accounts. We must know what's coming in. We must know what's going out. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, we're a bit like, oh, you know what? That's what our accountant's for. Or at least I was like that. That's what our accountant's for. I don't really know what's going on. I don't understand QuickBooks. I don't understand Xero. Oh my God, the spreadsheet. Oh my God. Oh, you know, we get a bookkeeper, right? That's quite common that happens in the beginning of business. And then it gets to a point where you're like, oh crap, like I really do need to know what's going on. And maybe you wasn't like that, or people weren't like that, but I was. That was me to a T. So I finally got to grips with what's going on, how much tax I need to pay, how much I need to put aside, what's my profit margin, what it actually means. Let's be fair, no one freaking knows what gross profit is, gross margin, you know, all that jargon. It just went over my head. Now, the reason why I'm going on about that is because I want to then stress the point that also I feel that people have the same outlook on tech. They feel like it's not their area. They outsource it. Don't worry, I've got a web designer. And that's great. I think that's fab that people are busy and they will outsource it. Same when you, the bookkeeping and your accountant, like that's great. But you still need to know what's going on. So for me, if you don't know the basics of how to get in and around your website, there's something wrong with the person that you've chosen to do your website. Like, not wrong, but like the whole idea of you having an online presence means that you need to grow it and nurture it. Just like your Instagram, just like your Facebook, you need to grow your website and you need to know how to do it. And people just go, oh, I'm not techie. Oh, I'm not a numbers person. Oh, I hate my accounts. Well, do you know what? That excuse is not good enough.
Yes.
That's my opinion.
I suppose it's almost like people aren't born learning how to ride a bike, but people learn how to ride a bike.
Yes.
And I think there is an element of exactly the same thing when it comes to websites. Although I appreciate sometimes people are going to feel like they're not going to be they're not going to become a website designer if they're a cake maker, but you are so right in what you say. They need to have a level of understanding of their own website because it's theirs, and they need to know
absolutely
how to grow it.
And we grow as people, and if the websites aren't changing, if you can't change your content, you know, what's the point in paying all that money out for an online presence when you don't have an idea on how to add and take away things to your site?
So in terms of growing a brand and coming up with a brand, when your clients come to you and ask you to make some changes to a brand or help them develop their brand, what process do you go through? How does that work? And what would you recommend to anybody who is trying to develop their own brand?
It's a good question, and it always comes down to what they want to actually achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, some people want to be the go-to expert in their field. And some people actually just want to have a good online presence, but haven't got the confidence to actually put themselves out there. So some people are like, yeah, I'm ready. And other people aren't. But for me, it's about getting all of the aspects right. And that's your full online presence, your website, your socials. And then the most important part is your mindset.
So what do you mean by mindset?
So obviously, I'm not a mindset coach. I don't do coaching in the slightest. But I can tell when people haven't got the confidence to, or something's stopping them from actually putting themselves out there. So they're like, oh yeah, great, I'll get a website. And then I'll hide behind it. Okay, that person has got some work to do. So my advice, if you are looking to grow your brand and you haven't got the guts, and I say this with love, you haven't got the guts to put yourself out there, and I'm talking about on stories, talking to camera, videos, going live. If you're not quite there yet, it's because you need to do some inside work. Something's holding you back. So I obviously don't do any coaching in terms of mindset, and I can do you a fabulous website, but if you're not going to do the work to actually build the reputation, then it's, you know, not a waste of time, but your journey is going to be a bit slower.
Yes. It's interesting you touch on that, because I've said to people before, and I something that I actually said to myself at the beginning when I started my journey was, other people's opinions aren't going to pay my bills.
Yes.
And so there was when I had a big barrier in terms of like putting content out there, or I would maybe like post a video or post something, and then I would like sit there and think to myself, like, oh my God, like, what's everyone going to think of me? And I think people are always going to have opinions about you, whether you do something or whether you do nothing. So at the end of the day, it just doesn't matter, does it?
No, but you have to definitely come to that yourself, don't you? I mean, people telling you, oh, who cares? Who cares what your high school, because it is the high school friends
time.
That you're worried about, like your friends, your peers. It's the ones that you don't even speak to anymore. They're the ones that you think about, because they're the ones. And do you know what? I still have people following me from school.
Really?
They're like the top 20 of looking at my stories every day. They're probably intrigued, like, what's this girl doing? I don't care. Some of them are really supportive. Some of them are, I just see them looking and that's it. I can't remember that. I haven't cared for such a long time that I can't even remember the thoughts that I went through, but I definitely went through it. I remember in 2017, I thought to myself, right, I'll do one story a week.
Wow.
I'll do one story a week and then see how I get on. And then I'll do two stories a week. Now I do like 20 stories a day. So it's all about doing things slowly. I mean, everyone's
building up.
Everyone's looking for that quick fix. There's no such thing. No one can sell you the dream. I mean, they can sell you it. Oh, yeah.
They can. Oh, they could.
But, you need to do the work.
So I'm glad you've touched on stories, because, like you say, you do a lot of them. And they're amazing. They're really good. And you do a great job of showing the behind the scenes stuff, which I think is really the best bit about stories. What tips or advice would you give to anyone looking to start doing more stories or making their stories better?
Oh, this is such a good question, because I feel like if you'd asked me a year ago, it would have been different. So the growth process is all, you know, we're always growing, we're always evolving. So I would probably now, so to build up my confidence, I just spoke about the behind the scenes of my work. But then after years, I got so comfortable with talking about my life that actually nobody knew what I was doing, because you know, you can't really show client work. You can only show client work when it's done.
Yeah,
exactly. But you're actually excited about the work that you're on to now, like working on right now and then. And then you're like, oh yeah, you want to see what I did last month? And I know that's similar in some industries, and some industries can talk about what they're doing all day long, like interior designers. Actually, some, well, you know, I'm always glued to an interior design blog. Ooh, what house are they in? What, you know? So I would, depending on your industry, do a bit of a mixture of face to camera, talking about your day ahead, get into that rhythm, and put out a tip.
Mm.
So one little behind the scenes of what you're actually working on today, or what the result is. Or there's so many examples that I get now, but at the beginning of your journey, it's really hard. Someone said that to me actually last week. Oh, it's really easy for you, Cheryl, because you've got all, you know, you get the text messages, I get the emails, I get the testimonials without even asking. I've got the work, so I've got a whole library of 10 years of work that I've done that I can just pop the content out. Mm. And I get that. I never looked at it like that before. I thought, oh, that's a very good point. Like, I have got this thing.
You do.
But in the beginning, you don't have that. So you do have to dig a little bit deeper and think about what kind of value. I mean, all the coaches say, oh, what value can you bring? What value can you bring? But if you haven't got the, you know, the results yet, because you're trying to put yourself out there, you do really need to put the value in first.
Yes.
And a little bit about your mission, which I've only just discovered the whole mission statement, vision statement thing. It's something you do at the beginning of your journey, and then you put it, stick it in a drawer, and you never look at it again. But if you revisit it and actually dig a little bit deeper, it becomes more meaningful.
So the latest Instagram feature is Reels.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Reels? Do you have any plans to do some Reels?
Are you going to see you
dancing
even...
on Instagram?
I haven't even looked at it, and do I feel guilty? No, I don't. Do I feel that I should? Yes. Do I have time to look into it? At the moment, no. But I will do. I absolutely will do. And I mean, we know that Instagram wants us to use whole of platform.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram will reward you for using lives, stories, the grid, Reels, commenting, engaging, you know. But I haven't, I'll be honest, I haven't.
Do you have any plans to, or is it one of those things? No. Fair enough.
That's not to say I won't.
Mm.
But right in this moment of time, no.
So
I like TikTok.
You do like TikTok, actually. But TikTok is very addictive, isn't it? Because I can find that of an evening, I could lose hours just scrolling through TikTok.
So we have this discussion, don't we?
We do.
We tend to cover TikToks.
We do. There are some crackers out there that honestly, sometimes I come across some things that I just think, I've got to show Cheryl this. Okay, so something that I am asking everybody that I'm interviewing is, what makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
Wow, that's deep.
I've stumped you.
Yeah, and I didn't even look at the show sheets before. How rude. I think being around the right people for me.
Love that.
People that are going to lift you up, have your best intentions at heart, that actually want to see you succeed. Because through the years, I have been around people that pretend that they want to see you succeed. And when you actually do, the green eye monster comes out.
Mm.
And I don't want to talk about negative aspects of that. I want to really talk about the people that have always been my cheerleaders.
Yes.
So
it's a big mindset thing, though, I think, that, isn't it? Because they say that you maybe adopt like personality traits and feelings. If you surround yourself with the right people, you are, actually, it's better to explain it. If you surround yourself with negative people, you will become negative yourself. Mm. Surround yourself with the right people and positive people, you're going to be positive. So it's that, isn't it?
And it's also, you are the average of the five people you hang around with.
What's that mean?
So write down the five people that you mostly hang around with.
Mm.
Mine is by default my mother.
Love her.
Again, best friend Lauren, probably you, Ben.
I think it's me.
I think it is. Pete.
Yes.
Oh God, a few others, right? Mm. And a couple more. And then literally just look at them. Look at how, are these people positive? Mm. Are they more positive than they are negative? Do they actually support you in what you do? It's a good exercise. Just write the names down and just look at them. And you can switch up a bit. I mean, I'm an extrovert, so I feel that I can do this. Like, just reach out to people and go, hey, do you want to be my friend? Not in so many words, but I will reach out and say, right, you need to come a little bit closer to the fire, to me. And I'll tell them, because I need you in my life because you are a positive, shining star. Mm. And they love it because they're also giving out that good
shining in their own way.
Yeah. So I've gone a little bit deep there, but I definitely benefit from having great people in my life.
I love that. Me too.
Yeah.
And the same for me having you in my life.
We've even texted each other, haven't we, on Friday night, going, I love you.
We have.
I love you too.
We have. It's like I found my long-lost sister.
Yeah. And we haven't even met.
And we haven't even met. Do you know, it's odd. I was talking to another friend the other day who I haven't met. And there is actually quite a few friends I have in my life that I actually haven't met, which is a very weird thing. It's a really weird concept. And especially now with like everything that's happened in the last 6 months of like lockdown and Corona, it's a bit more difficult. But I need to start ticking off some like friends on my list and actually like arrange to meet people, but it just doesn't
Well, we can't at the minute, can we?
We can't, but it just doesn't feel that there's any difference, you know. So it's interesting.
Yeah, isn't it? It's very interesting.
The old internet.
Yes,
internet.
Power of the internet.
You, I think it's fair to say, have, is it around 30,000 followers probably throughout your social medias in total?
Oh. Throughout, maybe, yes.
Throughout, which is not average by any means. That is incredibly impressive. That is a force to be reckoned with. So I know that engagement has dropped massively.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Because I know it's that same thing, isn't it? It's not that same thing, sorry, but it's that thing where once you have something, once you have a certain amount of likes, or say once you earn a certain, I'm going to use the money example because I think the money example is the most relatable to people. Once you start earning an amount of money, you don't want to go back from that. So if you made £1 million a year, you would not want to go back down to anything lower. So I think it comes in the same way with social media, where once you get a certain amount of likes, or a certain amount of engagement, you do feel that element of, no one wants to go the opposite way. So how do you feel about drops in engagement, and how are you trying to combat that?
Okay, this is a brilliant question, because when the algorithms did change, it hugely affected my ego. I was like, oh my God, I was getting 8 to 1,000 likes per image, and my grid, I stopped posting on the grid for about a year.
Mm.
And I just did stories because I was like, no, I'm just not getting enough likes. And how I've turned that around, well, secondly, the algorithm has changed again, I've noticed, in the last 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, now I measure sales, leads and sales.
Mm, yes.
So I don't measure likes and comments. Just are great, engagement's always great, we're always told that, but now I measure everything I do by leads and sales. I've even got a tally, especially for every single social media avenue. And I actually show people what I've earned from a particular social media platform.
Oh my God. You are so organized.
I know.
I feel like you need to do some kind of online course on organization for like business stuff like this, because something like that just wouldn't even enter the realm of my thought of like, I need to do something like that. But that makes so much sense.
Yeah. And I think it's something that you get told to do. And when you're first in business, you think, no, it's not. You just don't do it. And then you just realize how important it is to put a post out on LinkedIn and then get an inbox to say, are you around for a chat this week? Mm. I'm after a new website. And that happened to me yesterday, and that was LinkedIn. Really? Yeah, it's so great. Because you put out so much content daily on all your different, well, you're supposed to do, on all your different platforms, and eventually you just get a little slide into your DM. Hey, let's chat. And it's great. It's great. And then to actually show the money, like, this is the result of me posting on social media. Yeah. So it's much more tangible goal, isn't it, to actually register the sales and leads rather than the likes and the comments.
It's interesting you say that, because I, in the last, I would say probably month, have made a real effort to fall back in love with my social media and to post daily, where I was going weeks and months without posting anything.
Yeah.
I think there was a big fear in terms of, I didn't want to not be consistent, and I wanted to have kind of like my branding on point. I wanted my Instagram grid to look nice and lovely. And it just got me to the place where I wouldn't post anything at all, which actually was doing me a disservice. And so actually over the time that I have been posting, even if it's just anything, even if it's just a photo of my face, my notebook, like some of my posts don't have preemptive thought into them. I haven't pre-planned them. It's just like in the moment. I've received more DMs and emails and comments in the last month than I have probably all of this year, because I've just been actively engaging my social media. And so you're right in what you say, that it feels great when you're getting inquiries that are coming in, or you're getting emails and DMs that you know are being generated through social media. And this is where I probably need to start doing a tally like you're doing, so I can look back on the year and be like, wow, like this is where I got the most from this. And I think part of the problem is we hear all the time, you have to post on social media, you have to show up every day. And we kind of get in that headspace of like, yeah, okay, but like, does it actually work? Or we want to do one post and we want to get like 10 inquiries straight away. And of course it just doesn't do that. And I know actually for a fact that from watching one of your stories, you had said that the look of fear in your face.
Yeah, I know. What was it?
That you have, you received an inquiry from somebody who had been following you for, I think maybe like 2 years, you'd said, and they'd finally gotten to the point in that journey of viewing your content where they were ready to reach out.
Yes, that's really common. And that's exactly why we post daily, because we need to be in the forefront of people's minds, because you're only see 100% of your content. Others will only see, I think something is crazy, like 5%.
It's really low, isn't it?
So everyone's like, oh, I don't want to post every day. I don't want to like bombard people. But actually you only see 100% of your content. Mm. So you actually feel like you're overdoing it, but you're actually not. And I think again, it's that fear. Oh, what are people going to think? Or if I'm pushing my sales too much, what are people going to think? But actually, if you see your service as a solution rather than a sale, your mindset around the whole pushing out content will people feel and be different?
I think it's the same thing as the Instagram grid, isn't it? Because there is a lot of emphasis on things looking pretty, and you want your grid to look nice, and you want everything to match, and you don't want to have two similar photos sat together. But you are the only person, for the most part, that's looking back through your own grid.
Yeah.
It's so rare that people will actually, unless I'm like of an evening, I'm scrolling back through yours, but people will actually go and like scroll back. So I think that I think there's a lot of pressure, and actually
it's so much pressure doing
something. Sometimes it's just better just to do.
Yes, definitely do. I mean, even you taught me that.
Yay.
Ben and I had a discussion about a month ago, and it was to do with the whole, I'm just not using the grid at the moment. And Ben was like, I think you need to use the grid. And I was like, no, I just post every now and then. And he was like, use the grid. And I was like, ah. And then he was like, right, challenge. By the end of the day, you have to post to your grid. So, like the good business person that I am, I posted to my grid, and I've posted ever since. Not daily, but on a regular.
Like more than zero, which is what you
absolutely
heard.
Yeah. And what was it that rang true? You said, I'm not posting because I'm not being consistent. And I hate not being consistent.
Yeah.
And you said, but at the moment you're doing nothing. You said something like that to me.
Yeah. So it was, you weren't posting because I think you said you were worried about not being consistent, but by not posting, you're not being consistent anyway. So you might as well just post something.
Yeah. That was it. And I was like, oh, yeah, Ben, yeah, thanks.
And then I sent her an invoice for £1,000 for my knowledge. Excellent. So I'm really conscious of your time, so we'll start to wrap up now. But I just want to ask you, what are your goals for the rest of the year? What are you thinking about? And where do you see yourself next year? What are your plans?
Fantastic question. My goals for the next few months are to create a few challenges for my audience. Ooh. And this is down to exactly what we were talking about earlier. Mindset, getting yourself out there, stop hiding behind your website, and let's get in front of it and use them side by side one another. And then I might do a 90-day program where we're going to basically get you from hiding to shining. I mean, that's not what it's going to be called.
That's it. Like, that's the name of the program. We've heard it here first, everybody.
No, you know, literally get you out of your comfort zone, make you feel uncomfortable. And once again, I only want people on the program and on the challenges that are actually going to push themselves.
Mm.
That's what my aim of the game is in the next 6 months.
Cheryl, thank you so much for coming on the Brands for Businesses podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
There we are. That was Cheryl. What did you all think? I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope you found it helpful in some way. And thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Brands for Businesses podcast. If you haven't already, please do go and hit the subscribe or follow button to make sure I'm there for you every time I release a new episode each week.